come and receive and be made free with us today. Come and restore your heart and soul with us today. Hunger for the precious bread of life. Come all who thirst, drink of the living water. Come to God's life and be revived with us today. Come be transformed by the Lord of Lords with us today. Come worship with us as we lift the Savior up. Here at God's life, experience life in Christ. Experience life in Christ at God's life.
I bless the Lord today because he's worthy of our praises. He's worthy of our adoration. And we thank him for an opportunity for him to show us his way. We thank you, Lord, that on a daily basis you make yourself available through Holy Spirit to show us your way. And we just give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. God is so good. I said, God is so good, and his mercy and his grace endure it forever and ever and ever. Amen. I'm not going to be before you long, but I'm going to be before you until the Lord is done. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We are blessed and we are thankful to God. Amen. For this opportunity to be in his house, to be with his people, and to be in his presence. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for speaking to us on this day. So today I want to continue with my teaching on holy living and the holiness of God and holy, amen, glory to God. What we want to look at today is holy living is an active, committed life. Holy living is an active, committed life. And we can be committed at certain times, but in order to live the holy life, in order to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, it has to be an ongoing thing. It has to be active. It has to be something that you and I are consistent at. Amen. And we're going to use as we're going to turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy. God is good. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And our reference text throughout this teaching for the last almost 2 years now has been coming from 1 Peter, where it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. And so we're going to look at that because I recognize in my travels and then going to other churches and speaking, amen, I'm realizing there's more and more people who have no clue of what holiness is, of the holiness of God. As a matter of fact, some people will confuse a personal relationship with God with personal holiness, and there's two different things. And so a lot of times you can have a relationship with God and it not be based on his holiness. A lot of people know God, they talk about God, but do we have our relationship with God because we know that he's holy? Amen. And so when he says, be ye holy, for I am holy, amen, you know, I was sharing how that kind of shook me. I wouldn't say it gave me a scare, but it kind of made me realize that everything that we do for the Lord may not be done based on his holiness. And so therefore, we do some things and we say some things and we pray and we expect God to answer our prayers and do all these other things, but he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So if I'm not even considering God's holiness, how can I expect God to answer my prayers? How can I expect God to bless me if I'm not even considering? Now, all of the things he said, be ye holy. He didn't give me it didn't seem to me as it was an option or it was a multiple choice. It seems that according to the way that it's put in the Word of God, it's a direct commandment that doesn't allow me or you to say that we're Christian and do not pursue a holy life. Amen. So turn, if you will, I said, to the 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and I want to read verse 8, amen, and verse 9, and then we're going to read verse 12. 2 Timothy, first chapter, amen, and we're going to read at the 8th verse. God is good, isn't he? In 2 Timothy, the first chapter, the 8th verse, it says, be not thy therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor are me his prisoner, but be thy partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us into what? And called us with a holy calling. We see it again. The call from God is a holy one. It's not just say you know me, just say God is good. No, he is saying the relationship that I want with all of my children is to be based on my holiness. Hallelujah. Amen. And he goes on to say, amen, not according to our works, not something we can earn, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Hallelujah. So he is saying that he has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, a lot of times we are challenged with that because there's just not enough teaching on holiness. There's just not enough teaching on the holiness of God. However, but if we was to take a simplistic look at it, just look at this thing from the simple standpoint that God is holy. God's Word is holy, the Holy Bible. That's why they call it the Holy Bible. So when I'm reading in God's Word, I should not, if I'm looking at the cover of the Bible and it says a Holy Bible, then I ought to know that I'm reading a Holy Word. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now this is what's living in us. This is what's living in us. God is holy. His Word is holy. And the Spirit living in us is holy. So then what do you think God require of us? If we're going to be his people. If we're going to be his people, he is saying, I'm a holy God. I give you a holy word. And then I put my Holy Spirit in you. You have no excuse but to pursue holiness. None whatsoever. So everything about God is holy, and if you and I think that somehow or another we are going to bypass any pursuit and acknowledgement of God's holiness and get into his heaven, I learned a very sobering thing in studying this. Holy Spirit says it's only holy people in heaven. So there's a lot of people who put themselves in heaven or put other people in heaven, but God don't put them there. So what I'm saying to you is today, don't look at where you are, look at where you need to begin. We need to begin to seriously ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, now God is holy, I got his Holy Bible here that I read, and I got you, his Holy Spirit, in me. So now, how do I be holy as God is holy? Amen. So you may ask yourself, have you ever asked yourself, what does it actually look like to be fully committed to God? Mm-hmm. We may say, well, if you do this thing, you do the other thing. Well, when we look at that, let me give you a few things. People would probably say, when they try to describe a person as fully devoted or fully committed to God, this is what they may say. They may say that it might include commitments to a local church, like attending regularly, giving of tithes and offering, and volunteering in some area of ministry would all be a part of a person's description of a person who's fully committed to God. Why would a person be looked at as committed if they do these things? Well, let's see what the Bible said about those things that I said. It, first of all, it talks about us going to church regularly. It says in Luke, the 10th chapter and the 24th verse, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke one another into love and to good works, not forsaking, the 25th verse, I'm in Hebrews 10, The 25th verse says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Now, I believe a lot of people don't understand or believe that they one day are going to have to give account for their actions or for what they have done according to the commandments of God. Now, if it tells me not to forsake the assembling of myself, I have to do one of two things. I'm either going to believe that God is just pulling my leg and I don't have to assemble together, or I'm going to do what? I'm going to obey God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. And then another thing too is, and this is why people would say that a person is living a committed life, like I said, if they attend church regularly. And then if they gave, like if they're giving, I said one of the things that people might use would be giving. In Malachi, the third chapter, and in the 8th through the 10th verse, it read, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And the 9th verse says, ye are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even with this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now with, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room for. So like I said, when a person is describing a person who is committed, they would say they go to church regularly, they give on a regular basis, they also would be involved in some type of auxiliary or ministry in the church, amen? And all of those things are not bad. They're all good things. Certainly, a lot of fully committed followers of Jesus attend church regularly, give faithfully financially, and volunteer in one ministry or the other. Another thing people might say about when they're trying to describe what a committed person looked like, they may say that it would include personal disciplines and like reading the Bible, like prayer, and even fasting. So we would say going to church regularly, giving, amen, being involved in certain auxiliaries, praying, reading the Bible, and fasting. And you would probably really be showing a committed life if you did all of these things. However, in 1 Thessalonians, the reason why you would say that a person is living a committed life, we saw the verse of scripture that showed us why we would associate a person living a committed life with regular church attendance, with giving, with being involved in the church, amen. And then the personal disciplines. Look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at about verse 16. So now this here would say that if a person is doing these disciplines, amen, we would describe that person, in addition to their church attendance, we would say that that person was living a committed life, amen. So in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 16 through 18, it reads such. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, amen, concerning you. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So when we see a person is given to prayer, we see a person is given to Bible reading, we will also associate them with that. And then, if you look at 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, and I'm going to read it slow, so for those of you that are writing down, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, as I said, Bible reading, praying, and then fasting. So if I see a person reading a Bible, praying, amen, and then fasting according to the Word of God, I will have good grounds to say that that person is living a committed life. In Matthew's, the 6th chapter, amen, glory to God, and about the 16th verse, it says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance. Okay, so fasting is supposed to be, amen, associated with the life of a committed Christian. Amen. For they disfigure their face, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thy may appear not unto men to fast, but unto God which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So now, I can understand why a person would give a person that is doing these things, and I'm not finished yet, the list of things. When a person is attending church, they're giving like they should, they're helping build the church, doing whatever they can to help out with the church. When people read their Bible, when they pray, and when they fast, we would all see all those things in a person's life. We would attribute that they are committed Christian. And another thing too, that I would believe that people would add to the list is their evangelistic effort with sharing the gospel. Amen? So again, all those things that we mentioned so far are good as well. In fact, without them, without the praying, without the reading the Bible, without the fasting, amen, we would short circuit our ability or our capacity for God to use us. And another thing people would add to the list is what I said, evangelism, sharing our faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, look what Peter, 2 Timothy, while you're there, let's go to the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy. Amen. God is good, isn't he? And then it says in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 2 is where I'm going to begin reading. It reads, pray, it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, I gave you a pretty good list from church attendance to giving to being involved in the church, to Bible reading, to praying, to fasting, amen, to being an evangelist. But it's just doing these activities that I've listed with you so far. It's just doing them, amen, alone, the true measure of commitment. Well, if your idea of a committed Christian, amen, is one who does all the good things and avoids the bad things, you may be missing out or overlooking the things that go beyond the activities that God is looking for, and that is relationship. We may associate with what we may miss out, amen, on what God really wants of us. God wants us to do all of those activities that I listed. All of those. He wants us to do all of those things. Amen. However, those activities alone does not, amen, make you and I live the life that God wants us to have. Now, we need those things in order to pursue the relationship with God. But if that's all we are doing without pursuing a relationship with God or trying to be holy, we are short-circuiting and short-changing ourselves and our relationship with Him. Hallelujah. So what happens is sin separates us from God. The Bible said to them that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to them it is sin. So if I know anything, if you know anything that God say do and you don't do it, it is sin. And so I don't care what I want to believe. I don't care what I want to think. If I'm sinning, I'm separating myself from God. As a matter of fact, every time I do or don't do what God's word says, I am basically saying to God, I don't want to be with you right now. I don't want no parts of you right now. If I know that sin separates me from God and I sin, what is I'm saying to God? I'm saying, I don't want you right now. But then let some trouble come. We're Lord, 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 Lord. But wait a minute. When you were sinning, you did not care or you did not want me around. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me still? Mm-hmm. And so this is what we are talking about today, about living holy. I need you to understand, don't think for one moment, don't let the devil fool you for one moment. You're looking at your life. You have struggles with living holy. You have struggles with doing the word of God. I don't want you for one minute to buy into the lie that you can't be holy every day. Don't you ever buy into that lie. Because if you couldn't, then God's spirit in you, amen. The Bible said the same spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell where?
In me.
In me. If that spirit can raise up Jesus Christ from the dead, and God only wants me to live holy one day at a time, you're telling me that spirit cannot, if I yield to it, if I say, Holy Spirit, help me please God today.
Today.
Not tomorrow, not this week. Holy Spirit, help me please God today. Help me look at my life. Help me examine myself to see if I be in the faith. Help me examine myself to see if my life is lining up with God's will. You don't have to work at this, saints. This is not your work to do. It is Holy Spirit work to do. All you have to do is be available and let Holy Spirit show us what it is that God wants us to do that day. You still have your other responsibilities. You have your other obligations. However, but there's also in the midst of all of that, your relationship with God. And that is first and foremost. So you start your day. This is what I do. I say, Lord, show me your holy. Show me your holy. Show me your holy. Show you. That's how. Show me your holy. I start my day like that. And it's easier for me to now yield and allow Holy Spirit to show me what area of my life, amen, that I need to address. You know, some of us know the scripture that says God's mercy is new every morning, and we are all excited about that scripture. But what I found out is we need to pay more attention to that scripture. Why do God have to show me mercy? This is my revelation. I said, why do God have to show me mercy every morning? And so that began to shake me a little bit. That began to get me a little, began to thinking. And Holy Spirit says, the only reason a person needs mercy because they're not doing something right. So Holy Spirit showed me, Calvin, the reason why you get mercy every morning, there's an area of your life God wants you to work on, and he's showing you mercy so that you can work on it. So every day that we wake up and get the mercy of God is simply this. There is an area in our life that God is saying, now you're really messing up, but I'm going to show you mercy. So you can work on that. Amen. I'm going to show you mercy so that you can work on that. Is God showing you mercy for anything? Is there anything about your relationship with God that you know to do, you're not doing? Amen. And God is saying, I'm just being merciful. It's not that I'm endorsing what you're doing. It's not that I agree with what you're doing. But because I'm a merciful God,
thank you, Lord,
and I don't decide that no man would perish, I'm not going to punish you for your actions. But I do expect you at some point of another, at some point, to correct it. At some point to ask Holy Spirit to help you get it together. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so if we didn't have Holy Spirit, God would not have the right. He would not have the right. He could not fix his mouth to tell us to be holy. That means the only way God can command us to do something, he's already given us what we need to do. And somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I'm excited about this. Amen. So now let's go beyond the activities. Let's go beyond the accident. We need all of those. We need the church, regular church attendance. We need the giving like we should. We need to be involved in ministry in the church. We need to pray. We need to fast. We need to read our Bible. All of those things we need to do. But it's not, you can't just do those and say that your relationship with God is right. It's a matter of the heart. So there's a lot of us can do all the activities and still have no relationship with God whatsoever. We have a relationship, but not the one he wants. The one he wants is the one that I give it all. I give all to him. Hallelujah. So what happened is the title of our message is Holy Living is Acting Commitment. Amen. So holy living goes beyond the activities. It goes beyond the activities. It began to be a heart matter. You know, like sometimes people start out in relationships and they're lacking people for things that they do. For things that they do. But whenever they're not doing them no more, then they don't like them in the same. So the relationship with that person was based on activities that they did. Amen. So but can you love them when they're not doing any of the things that none of those activities. So the what I'm basically saying is, can our relationship with God, amen, work when God is not doing everything we want? Can it still work? So what I'm saying to you is holiness. It involves an inward commitment. See, I can outwardly do everything that make it look like I'm a fully committed Christian. But inwardly, the Bible says we can be full of dead men's bones. We can do all of these things outwardly that everybody's like, yeah, I know, I know they're Christian. I know that they are Christian. But God is not saying the same thing. God is not coming away with the same conclusion. Amen. And so, again, this is not something you got to figure out. And this is the thing that, see, I know some of you are saying within yourself, you know, you can't do this all the time. How can you be God all the time? You can't. Not without Holy Spirit, but with Holy Spirit, you can be God all the time. You can have your mind on God all the time. You can have your mind on His holiness. However, we have to give Him permission to do that. A lot of us don't give Him permission because we are still being deceived by the devil that we can't do it. And at some point or another, you got to go to the, we have a slogan in our Bible study, NTS. Not today, Satan. Not today, Satan. No. I can do everything God say I can do. And I ain't got to get all spiritual about it. I can do what Daddy want me to do. Holy Spirit, what Daddy want me to do. I'm available for you to do what Daddy want me to do. Done.
Hallelujah.
Done. And we have another slogan. If you want to get it right and keep it right, do what God say do. It's real simple. Do what God say do. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to try to figure it out. Just do what God say do. And what He say do is so minor for you and I to accomplish major things. That's why the devil will keep telling you that you can't do it. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who do what? Strengthen me. In other words, let's put it, make it a little bit more personal. I can do anything God wants me to do through Christ and the Holy Spirit living in me. I just got to yield. I got to yield. And this is what the devil will do to some of you. You'd be like, well, I've been missing it in this area. I've been missing it in the other area. I've been missing it over here. I've been missing it over there. Okay, acknowledge that you missed it. And also acknowledge the fact that God have shown you mercy today to unmiss and start hitting the target. Hallelujah. I know that's not good grammar, but y'all know what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen. He's given us what we need every day. Listen. Don't try to live holy this week. No, forget about it. It's not going to happen. Jesus said don't do it. Try to live holy today. That's it. You know, if I have to ascribe anything to the consistency in my relationship with God, I understand that I can't do the thing more than one day at a time. So what I do one day, I throw everything in it that one day and don't worry about tomorrow. Hallelujah. It's not like an investment where you're investing for another time. You're investing for the day. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God is a very present help. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Some of us are in trouble. But you know what? Don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Hallelujah. Beat up on the devil. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the ruler of the darkness. Amen. However, you don't have to fight the rulers of the darkness. Amen. Glory to God. That's Holy Spirit job. The only fight that you have is you. You got to get you to start thinking right. Hallelujah. You got to start getting you to believe that God is giving you everything you need to do everything He wants you to do. Hallelujah. If I can get past me, I'm victorious.
Hallelujah.
If I get past me, I got the victory. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because I need to know, I've been at this a long time, but sometime the devil comes. Now, Calvin, you've been doing this, and you got to preach Sunday. What you going to preach? I say, nothing. Well, you know, you got to come up with these messages. What you going to preach now? Nothing. Holy Spirit will give me what I need to say, and then he's going to say it through me. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So I'm saying that to say to you, when you say, well, how am I going to look like a Christian today? You're not. You're going to yield the Holy Spirit, and whatever he do with you, he do with you. And your day may not look holy to nobody else. But I tell you what, in God's eye, that's what counts. Amen. I've learned that I live like only God see me. And see, when I live like only God see me, it doesn't matter what everybody else see, because if I'm living like God, like only God is seeing me, everybody else going to see what God wants them to see. Not what I want them to see, but they're going to see what God wants them to see. Hallelujah. How many of you excited that you ain't got to figure this thing out on your own?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is why it says, it's in him we live, it's in him we move, it's in him we have our being. We might as well not move at all unless we move in him. Because see, I can't move and do anything that's going to please him unless I do it in the Spirit. And this is why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he said, in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things have passed away. Because it's in him we live. Come on, sing it with me. It's in him I move. It's in him I have my being. I might as well not move at all unless I move in him. Come on, you're sounding good. You're sounding good. It's in him I move. It's in him I live. It's in him I have my being. I might as well not move at all unless I move in him. Hallelujah. So just get in him and stay there. And then with all your moves, it's going to be pleasant to God. Going to be acceptable to God. Going to be pleasing to God. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now we ain't got to figure this thing out. I've learned, the Bible says, some must enter into his rest, in Hebrews, and cease from their own labor. Well, you might say I'm lazy, but I entered into his rest and stopped trying to work, amen, within my own strength. And it works. It works. It works. But again, we've got to accept this. It's in him that I live. It's in him that I move. It's in him that I have my being. So it's not up to me to figure this out. Listen to me. Say this with me. It's not up to me to figure this out. It isn't. All we got to do is just flow along and go along with him. Amen? You know, this week, Sunday, we got to Atlanta. And these people was riding. When I said they would ride, they were riding. When you get out and get into Atlanta, I was doing 94 and people was passing me like I was standing still. I said, is this real? I'm doing 94 miles an hour. And I'm like, I saw a guy come up on me about to run me over. I'm like, dear, I'm doing 94. And so I'm saying that to say, that one thing, you know, because when we got to the hotel where the conference was, people said, these people around here drive crazy, don't they? I say, no, you just got to get in there and flow with them. 94, I thought I was flowing, but I thought I was flowing at 94. Can you imagine that? You think you're just keeping up at 94. Hallelujah. So I almost hit it down a little bit more, but I say, well, I'm going to stay at 94 because hallelujah, amen. I almost felt like I was going to get ran over a couple times. But the same thing spiritually, we just got to jump in there and flow with the Holy Spirit. No matter what everybody else is doing, don't look at how this one is doing it and that one is doing it. Like I said, you look at somebody to think they're committed and they may not have relationship with God. So don't look at how they're doing it. Look at how Holy Spirit is doing it with you. Hallelujah. And if you can examine yourself to see if you be in the faith, and what that basically means, examine myself to see if I'm truly allowing Holy Spirit to order my thoughts and my steps, and you and I, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. You know how to say, I'm all right? Well, when you get let Holy Spirit lead you, you'll be all right. Amen. Are you still with me? I'm almost finished. Amen. The thing about holy living and the holiness, it requires some arithmetic. It requires some deleting and some adding. Amen. So whenever we are walking this walk, there's going to be things that Holy Spirit is going to ask us to put out of our life. And there's things that Holy Spirit is going to ask us to add to our life. So it's a subtraction and addition type of walk. Amen. Hallelujah. Because what happens is Holy Spirit requires separation from one thing and separation to a different thing. So we separate from one thing, but we separate to another thing, because holiness in and of itself, it is separation. It is separation from the things of the devil, separated to. We have been separated for God. God separate us for himself. Just think about it for a minute. Some of you are familiar with the story of the burning bush when Moses was in the wilderness and he came up on this bush and the bush wasn't burning up. Now I need you to know, if you really think about it, Moses done been all over that area. Moses would probably been in that area more than one time with his flock. But that particular time, God said, Moses, take off your sandals because this is holy ground. What made it holy? God said it was holy. Amen. Now, just like us, you can be standing in your bathroom every day, all day, you know, at different times, and you go in there one time, God said, this bathroom is holy. What made it holy? God said it was holy. I think about whenever Peter got the vision and he saw all of these different things and he said he cannot eat an unclean thing. And God said, who said it's unclean? I told you to eat. If I said eat, it's holy. I make it holy. The point that I'm making is a lot of times we think some things that we are doing is holy, but they're only holy if God say they're holy. Not if the pastor say they holy, not if you say they holy or somebody else. Only thing that's holy is what God say is holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, as I said, holiness is separating from and separating to. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the key to all of this, what I'm trying to say in all of this is that it is not just about activities. It's not just about activities. God wants a heart, you know, because some of you might be familiar with some people. They go to church. They give like they should. They're involved. They're on the usher board or the greeters and all of that stuff. And they may even be given to reading their Bible and praying and even some fasting sometime. And then you may see them share the gospel every now and then. But then there's something about their life that's missing. You're like, you got all of those. You got all of the outward things working, the thing. But there's still something that's very missing. And that missing thing is that when we don't see that God is holy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so I often tell people that Christianity is not about having the right religion, but rather about having a relationship with God. So how many of your relationships are defined by, like I said earlier, by a list of activities, amen, that you've committed or to complete? So checking all the boxes wouldn't necessarily make your relationship with God stronger. Relationships, as I said earlier, is a matter of the heart. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a matter of the heart. I would advise anybody to not do less of any of the spiritual disciplines. Amen. Unless now those spiritual disciplines has come to be seen as an end in itself rather than the mean through which we experience a greater relationship with God. Hallelujah. In other words, rather than saying that the way to get closer to God is to pray, go to church, we should instead say that the way to get closer to God is to be more fully open to the leading and the guiding of His Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. And this will come when you do those other disciplines. Amen. If you're doing those disciplines and allow Holy Spirit to touch your prayer, allow Holy Spirit to touch your church attendance, allow Holy Spirit to touch your giving, allow Holy Spirit to touch your fasting, allow Holy Spirit to touch your Bible reading, all of these things, allow Holy Spirit to touch your witness. When you turn these things over the Holy Spirit, He will bring you and I to that place of relationship. Hallelujah. But if I don't give Holy Spirit the right to touch these things, then I'm going to do them based on my own power. Amen. Glory to God. And they are not going to amount to what, amen, I want them to amount to. Amen. Hallelujah. And a couple more things I want to add before I close. Amen. The problem is, God doesn't only want a commitment from you. He wants a relationship with you. God doesn't just want your help, He wants your heart. He doesn't just want your service, He wants your soul. He doesn't just want your activity, He wants your affection. He doesn't just want your production, He wants your passion. He doesn't just want you to be committed, He wants you to be holy. Hallelujah. All throughout the Bible, we see where people had to make a decision to go from just doing activities to eventually giving God everything. Amen. Just like a marriage. A good marriage will start with commitment. I do, right? But it's sustained by connection. It is the same with our relationship with God. If you don't try to grow in your relationship in that marriage is not going to last. Same thing with God. It starts out by us accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then we find out what is the responsibilities that comes with this. What do you now require of me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we want to move beyond commitment and become beyond commitment, the activities, and become affectionately, actively pursuing God in our relationship with Him. We want to be actively pursuing it. We want to wake up, Lord, I love you. Holy Spirit, help me. We want to go to bed, Lord, I love you. Holy Spirit, help me. Throughout the day, Lord, I love you. Holy Spirit, help me. Amen? Hallelujah. And you will be, oh, I tell you, most of us want to live with eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. And I need you to know that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard is not a material blessing. It is a peace that passes all understanding. It is a knowing of being confident in whom you are serving. And I want to close with this verse of scripture from our the first scripture that I read in the beginning. Look what it says in the 12th verse of 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Amen, amen. In 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 12, look what it says. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Hallelujah. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I commit unto Him against that day. Now, I thank God that I learned about what it meant for God to keep something against that day. In other words, whatever you commit to God, when it comes under attack, He will keep you, amen, able to stand in it. Whether it's your time, your talents, your heart, all of those things, when you commit it to God, you don't have to worry about nothing happening. You don't have, because he's gonna guard it. Amen. He is able to keep it against that day. So whenever your finances go bad, then if you have committed them to God, then you can be assured of this. He said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room for. Amen. If your joy is kind of waning and your peace is kind of waning, the joy of the Lord, amen. If you committed that joy to the Lord, amen, then you don't have to worry about it. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because when it seemed like you got no joy, joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. It says, weeping may do it for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. I'm excited here today. I need you to know it's an exciting time, amen, for me. It's exciting to be in this fellowship. It's exciting for me to be behind this pulpit that has a lot to do with my roots. Amen. And so I just bless the Lord, that glory to God, that regardless of what's going on, where he send us, amen, we can still come and be in the midst. Hallelujah. Of this fellowship. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a joy. It's an excitement. You know. Someone was asking me, and they said, it costs you a lot of money to go to New Jersey, don't it? I said, yeah. It costs you a good bit of money to go to New Jersey. Yeah. So why do you go? Why do you spend all that money? I said, relationship. See, I can do activities on condition, but relationship, it's unconditional. You can't touch it. Amen? Just like I said, love have an expiration date. If I say I love you, you stuck with me. If God say he love you, you stuck with him. The Bible said nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Nothing. It says nothing. And that's what I try to do. If I say I love you, ain't nothing you going to do that's going to separate that love. It wasn't love to start with. Hallelujah. And I don't believe in lying. So if I say I love you, you're stuck with me. Hallelujah. Are you understand what I'm saying? God loves us better than we love ourselves. Hallelujah. I'm just excited. I thank God again for this opportunity to hear from the Lord. Because see, when I'm preparing to share, I said, Lord, speak to us. Not just to you, because things that I'm sharing with you is a reminder to me as well. Hallelujah. God's word is a two-edged sword. It can't cut out and not cut in. Are you understand what I'm saying? So then let us get excited. Let us remember it's not in our power. Amen. But it's in our surrenders to Holy Spirit. And we can rest in that. I mean, listen, and I can share this with you. You may go through that day or a day after surrendering the Holy Spirit, and you may say, I don't see nothing that happened that's supposed to please God. You may say, I don't see nothing. I can't think of nothing this day that God should be pleased with. Don't you worry. Hallelujah. Don't you worry. If you committed it to Holy Spirit, then you ain't got to worry about it. It's just like when we pray. The Bible says, he who come to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When I ask Holy Spirit what to pray, and he tell me what to pray about a situation, and I pray, I know it's done. How many of you today was challenged? How many of you today can now rest in your relationship with God because of your acknowledgement of Holy Spirit doing the work? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing our song one more time. It's in him we live. Oh, let's make it personal. It's in him I live. It's in him I move. It's in him I have my being. I might as well not move at all unless I move in him. Hallelujah.